in Jesus' name. You are so good, so rich in your mercy and grace. Lord, thank you again that your love is what sets us off. Oh, it's that great love wherewith we are loved in this wondrous word that works effectually in them that believe, God, that does. It lights us up to you. Lord, thank you for this faith like a child. Lord, that you said it, and thank you, God, I believe it. I believe you, Lord Jesus, and increase my faith. God, just allow us to rejoice, oh, in who we are in Christ. And that you do live in us, Lord Jesus, and we can have complete confidence in that life. That yes, you will and do of your good pleasure in us, God. Lord, help us just to be encouraged today in the word of your grace, which is able to build us up. Give us that inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Lord, thank you. You have, because of who you are, you've set us apart unto you. Thank you for this meal that we're already receiving. Thank you for this table that you've already set. God, help us to just feast and to keep our minds upon your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And as we began today, and the Holy Ghost fell upon them that heard the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Romans 8:28. And praise his name for Romans 8:28. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's just read this together. This is ours in Christ. Here we go. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God, that is us. Praise be to God, that is mine. Praise be to God, that is yours. Praise be to God, who he is. And how many times, praise be to God, that this has encouraged us. The countless, and I'm so thankful to God, millions upon millions of times. Thousands of times in a day in my life. That's, praise the Lord, I know how weak I am and how strong he is. And how I need this. Oh, how I need this. But even on those millions of times, oh, like the first time this week again, what caught my heart in this one, this time? Things. The things. And brothers and sisters, all things. Oh, and I can't tell you how I got to just bouncing around my house in my heart of praise to him and thanksgiving for all things. To truly be encouraged by his big picture, not my big picture. I have no picture. I have a mess. These eyes, what they see, this mind, what it wants, this heart, what it desires, that's a mess. Oh, but the big picture of his heart for me, oh, how it just set me off. He told me, son, I got all things. All things. I've got them ordered for you. I've got them appointed for you. I've got them divinely and precisely arranged for your life. All for you to win my very, very, very best. Oh, hallelujah. And I thanked him. I said, oh, Lord. Here I am. Somebody look at me. I'm a crazy man. Here I am. Do you think I'm just talking to myself? But oh no, I'm talking to the I am. More importantly, the I am is talking to me. And I'm so grateful to God that I got reason to praise him this morning. I got reason to praise him and to bless him with all that is within me. Praise be to God. Because I'm praising him about all things. All things. Because he's given me an ear to hear him. And as he told me so sweetly, son, It's the entire masterpiece. I've got it all. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now, how did we get there this week? Well, let me tell you a story that maybe is familiar to you. I was getting beat up about one thing. About a thing. One thing. Ever happened to you? Huh? You want to set aside that pride here for just a moment, maybe? Ever happened to you that you get beat up about one thing? You know what I'm talking about? One thing that takes full advantage over you? A one thing that doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. It can be, even in light of this world, a good thing. But I'll tell you what, when that thing becomes your sole obsession, you're in trouble. When that one thing becomes all that you're focused on, it's a problem. And brothers and sisters, if you've got sitting there today one thing, and I mean you got a thing that is hounding you, I'm here to warn you, if you stay there, it's going to defeat you time and time and time again. Now, you got to get off the one thing, and praise be to God, you got to be still, sit down, get the enlightened eyes of understanding, and let Him get you to see all things. Oh, now, wait a second, brother. I've got a problem with one thing. How do you want me to go to all things? Because I'm telling you, when you see all things in the light of Christ, you're going to be bouncing around here this morning with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because the light's going to go on and you're going to say, oh, Lord, I get that. I get that because you got that. Hallelujah. See, brothers and sisters, the Holy Ghost got me to see, again, the big picture. The big picture, brothers and sisters, that all things by faith work together for my good. And I got a little bit praise happy. I got a little bit more thankful. I didn't feel like there was any fire going on, but then the flames just started going off. And the Holy Ghost got me abounding in all things because I started believing the Word of God. See, He sat me down and He said, you know, son, oftentimes the problem with one thing is you think you can handle that thing. Well, I can handle one thing at a time, so I'm just going to focus. Isn't that a word we hear a lot? I'm just going to focus on one thing because I can handle that thing. And that's a bad thing. Because by the grace of God, when He said, now, honey, I want you to embrace this grace, all things. And what happened at that very minute is the one thing got off my mind. The all things were, praise God, in the new mind of Christ that's in me. And it got easy because His burden is light and His yoke is easy. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this was like something that was so amazing. It was like, now, wait a second. I've been through here with the Holy Ghost many times before. But there's something very precious about all things all the time. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story about how the Lord so encouraged my heart one time in this precious scripture. Very similar to what He was showing me here today. But I remember one time He brought me to an art gallery. And you can ask my sweet wife, even when we were in Europe and all of those times when we had time off, we liked to go off in the countryside and they had these little teeny art galleries. And in those teeny art galleries, they had all the Impressionists. And I love the Impressionists. Just amazing. I think some way and somehow it gets your mind a little bit to see and to maybe that inspiring that's within you to some of those things to come out that's even in that picture. But long story short, we were out there, and they had a beautiful Monet that I had never seen before. And I don't even think there's a picture it's hard to find of these ones, because they're just little ones that aren't maybe as special in a sense, that aren't in the big galleries. But I remember that I was drawn to this one work of art as we were looking at all of these different ones. And I got up on that art, and I got up on that art. And finally, I was just so close to that picture that all I got to see was one little brushstroke. Just one. And it was amazing in itself, the detail that it had and the color that it had and all of these different things. But as I sat there for, you know, quite some time just looking at that one little brushstroke, I realized I forgot what I was even looking at. I was so caught up into one part of that that I really, honestly forgot what was that picture. What was that beautiful masterpiece that I was looking at? And the Lord so struck my heart as I got to back away, and there it came into full view. Honey, it's all about the masterpiece. And I was so thrilled, and I was so thankful to God that, you know, oftentimes, brothers and sisters, we can get too close to one thing. And that's the truth. Now, sure, without a thing or one stroke of a painting, there wouldn't be a masterpiece. But that's just the point of it all. It's the master who's in control of all of those strokes and brushes and chips or whatever it is that he's working on, that he has got it all. And I was so thankful to God as I saw that beautiful work of art, as I saw that each brush stroke and each color and each shade and each texture, brothers and sisters, make up that masterpiece. But if I'm so caught up into just one piece of it, I never understand what the whole thing's about. Now that is the truth. And I'm telling you, oftentimes I seem to get stuck in my life on the one thing all the time. And the Lord encouraging my heart. See, it happens to passionate people. Did you know that? Very, very passionate people. We can get lost into something that, and for a good reason, and in a sense, in a great love and in a great passion to help change that thing or to help make it better. But when that one thing becomes our sole obsession, we lose sight of really what it's all about. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, it was like that adage we've heard many times, you can't see the forest because you're stuck just on one tree. See, we can move through life, brothers and sisters, so sweetly when we see Him, but we can't move on in life if we're always stuck on one trial. It's the truth. We can't move on when we're stuck on one concern. We can't move on when we're stuck on one mission we think of our lives. And we can get so purposed even on a loved one. We can. We can get so purposed on a friend, a child, a spouse, that we miss it. That we're trying to care so greatly that our love truly can be amiss. That we miss the best part. And brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, the Lord has to remind me of this often when I begin to drift off, and I call it this, in my blind passion. Honey, you plant and you water, but I give the increase. We're a passionate bunch because we have the love of Christ. But understand this, you can't do a thing. You can't. You can't change the one whom you love so much by the grace of God that's even sitting next to you. It has to be the Lord. It has to be God that does that. And as Jesus said, He said, you know, you love mother, brother, father, son, daughter. He was going after anything. more than me, you're really not worthy to come after me. Not in this love, not in first love. And we can fool ourselves and we can, in a sense, think that, well, this is for the good. But when it becomes our sole obsession, that one thing, it becomes your first love. And you don't even know it. And before long, you miss the communion and the fellowship, which is the one thing that actually matters, and that's Him. Isn't it true? See, isn't that wonderful? See, that's why he didn't say that, you know, this thing, and this thing. He said, honey, it's all things. It's everything. I've got it all. Praise be to God. See, we have to understand we're incapable of seeing these things individually. I really am. We hear people say, well, you got to compartmentalize this. You know, you got to go to A to get to B and B to get to C. He don't have no alphabet. He's not restricted and governed by the things that so govern us. He's beyond. His ways and His thoughts are not our ways and our thoughts. And I thank the Lord for that. And really having that faith, that belief, that with Him all things are possible. That praise be to God that I do know and we know. Not just think, not just imagine. See, you know this. And you can sit there and say you don't know this, but you do know this because of what they sang about. Christ lives in you. And I'm going to tell you something. Christ knows this. That's why you know this. Because the life that you now live, it's Christ in you. Do you like to live a lie? That's a pretty stupid question, isn't it? I don't like to live a lie. Sometimes the truth is hard to face, but this truth is so wonderful. And the truth is Christ lives in you. And the truth is that you know, and we know, Brother Paul was encouraging us in the Spirit, that all things, so you don't have to be just all bent out of shape about one thing. Because we know that all things not only work individually, and they don't just work individually, they work together. Your whole life has been a beautiful orchestra. Really think about it. It's a symphony. And it just continues to play and play and play and play and play. And by the grace of God, you talk about called to His, according to His purpose. And what's His purpose for us in this age? To be fully purposed, to win Him, to rule and to reign jointly together with Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you something. If that's the orchestra that's playing in your life, the all things, it's going to climax into a event and a moment. You talk about a singing. Well, when the voice of the archangel trumps forth, oh my goodness. What a climax it's going to be. Now, I'll tell you what. See, brothers and sisters, when we get on to one thing, we begin to think, well, how is this going to work together for my good? Well, let's even make it more personal. Because I know a lot here, for your own lives, by the grace of God, you believe Him. You believe Him. But then there's these ones that you love so. Your chicks, you know, your babies, that might be 21, 45, 70, and above, huh, sister? Huh? Or a spouse, or a love, or whatever it may be. But I've got to be focused on that one thing for them. And that's part of the all things for my life.
and it needs to be brought back into that realm. Amen? Isn't that the truth? Isn't that so wonderful how God brings that in? Now, honey, you can't just go getting there and that being your idol. Because what's going to happen is you're going to conjecture. You're going to speculate. And maybe I have an admission. I told my wife the other day, she's heard this many times, oh, I hate being right. But I'm telling you, that's not right. Because I don't want to be seeing that. I want to be believing all things. See, I don't want to even get stuck on my wisdom. What I can see, obviously, there's a way that man devises, and that's the way of death. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. I know if you continue down that path and you go away from the Word of God, I know where that's going to lead. But I don't want to get magnified on that. I don't want that to be my sole obsession because that becomes a fear. And I want to get down on my knees and I want to say, oh Lord, that's part of my all things. And I want to pray for people and I want to pray for my children. And I want to pray in accordance to the will of God, knowing that, you know what, you're for me, Lord. You're for me, Lord. And Jesus, you told me you ask anything in my name, and I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And that's the confidence by the grace of God that you have in all things. That's the confidence by the grace of God that I have in all things. And I need to be encouraged in that moment by moment. And I need to get out of my mind in trying to, again, speculate or feel that it's going to be this way. Because you know what? With God, it never is that way. And I can get lost in details so quickly that I quit living by faith. Because I'm so wise in my experience that I jump out of faith and start to try to manipulate by my own experience how this is going to work out. And then if it did, was it worth it? When I forcefully put it together and look, that's what I really wanted to see. But yet, truly, it wasn't by faith. And I'll tell you what, if it's not by faith, God's not going to have anything to do with that. Was it worth it? Oh, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I live that way, and I'm never going to have the faith to believe that He performs the good work. That He will perform the good work which He's begun. I'll never believe truly and fully that He perfects that which concerns me. I want to quit caring about what I can do and care completely about what He does. Passionate people have problems with this. I have problems with this. People that are somewhat capable. It's true. People that are, just say how it is, that try. There's lots of good qualities, but you can get lost in these good qualities and you miss faith. And then you've directed your own ship, and at the end of the day, what do you have? You missed it, and you have shipwreck. Oh, you think that you got it done, but what did you get done? It was just a bunch of artificial flowers. There's nothing like a sunset, is there? There's nothing like a sunrise. Always different, always glorious. When are we really going to believe that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think? To quit trying to force my life or somebody else's life. Yeah, you have desires and things of that nature, but by the grace of God, Lord, let them always be your desires. Don't let me ever trump something in my life that you want for me. He'll give you over to that if you want to go that way. But there's one great consequence of going your way. He'll send leanness to your soul. There'll always be a lean part of that part of your life. There'll always be a hurt and a longing because you're His. You're His. And the longer that you keep that away from Him, and the longer that you believe that, well, this is the one thing that's going to be my consumption, why stay in that misery? See, the enemy wants you there. You got to start living like Abraham. And he bothered everybody around him. He did. He bothered his family to begin with when he just took out. Where are we going? Don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Just going with God. Think about that. You don't think it bothered Lot? After Lot said, well, he must be kooky. He's going to let me choose. And as he's chosen, uh-oh, what did I do? I bet he got the best. Didn't last long, though, because he was just down there thinking he got it made. Oh, and he got it, didn't he? What leanness he got. And then even his wife, he was still believing God for that child. But see, even his precious, precious wife. See, he knew all things were the Lord's, didn't he? All the things that were for his life. And his sweet wife there, she started to get consumed with one thing. Where's that child going to come from? Whereas Abraham was just standing over here in faith and believing God and saying, He's got all things, honey. Well, I can't handle that. You got to come on over here and be into my one thing. Because my thing's got to be your thing. And boy, what a thing did that become. Yes. But then in his faithfulness, he even took all of those things and still worked them together for his good. Isn't that wonderful? But see, brothers and sisters, bottom line, without seeing, and I appreciate my sweet wife. She has to bring me, encourage me in this often. Honey, you've got to see the big picture. You've got to get out of your own mind. You've got to quit thinking that this is the way that it has to be. You have to, by the grace of God, to be encouraged in that. Or you're never going to rest. You're never going to rest. As the Word of God says, and even as God testified Himself, you cease from your own works, you'll enter into my rest. My rest. Who is his rest? His son. His son that had fully accomplished everything. He knew that all things were in his son. And here we are talking about all things. Everybody, every life, everything that there could ever be in this entire universe. And yet here I am contemplating why he can't take care of all things in my life. That's right. You just sit there and go, we sure need to be prayed for. Huh? Amen. In Jesus' name, not to do it suddenly, but man, I need some hands laid on me. But brothers and sisters, we are His workmanship. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that so wonderful again that he brings us back to knowing that? And again, that he has before ordained all the good works, all the things that we should walk therein. That the Lord has every minute detail of my life, and he takes each one of those by faith, and he constructs his finished work of grace. And it's all for his eternal pleasure. And it's all for his divine purpose, for the wonder of the exceeding riches of his grace that he has in store for us. And as we began, and we know all things, they work together for your good. Praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. You praise the Lord. Let's stand and praise the Lord and thank him and rejoice and glory in him and thanking you, Jesus, that all things work together for my good. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that it is all things. And I know we're going to be tested, Lord God. We're going to be tried, Lord God. Oh, but a priest of faith, priest of faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, again, we come to you in thanksgiving and praise. And Lord, thanking you once again to remind us as you've done over and over and will do so until we see you. Yes, all things work together for good to them that love God. And Lord, I'm going to encourage my brothers and sisters as you've already encouraged my heart this morning. And you will be tried in this as you go forth. But do not fear. Don't you fear. And Lord, I need more of your perfect love that casts out all fear. We need that perfect love, and you've given that perfect love. But Lord, we do not fear what man can do unto me. We do not fear that unknown door, Lord God. Lord, we know that you are for us. You are for us. And you promised us, Lord God, that we are the apple of your eye. And you've promised us, Lord God, that you will not withhold anything that is good from our lives. Now, Lord, in that, I know that it's Christ that lives in me. And it is Christ and that wondrous faith of that life that, Lord, increase the faith in our lives. Increase the desire to hear your word, to be encouraged in your word. Lord, you've given us that ear to hear you. And Lord, let us hear you. Let us stay continually in prayer. Let us stay continually believing you and giving you thanks, Lord God. And we give you this to all the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise and amazement and wonder, wherewith you are the only worthy to be praised. Oh, in Jesus' name, amen.